crazy episode of Oof, I Wrote That. My name is Erica. Across from me, as always, is the lovely Sheila.
Hello.
I think that was the spiel that we used to do at the beginning.
Yes, you nailed it.
Look at that. Consummate professional.
Still got it.
What did we say? Oh, yeah. I wrote a book. We were going to talk about that.
Yes. Tell us all about it. What's it called?
So it's called, it's not Oof, I Wrote That. That's the name of this show. It is You Are Always, You Were Always Magic. Excuse me. It's late. I'm tired and I've had a couple things to drink. It is set in Door County. It is kind of a witchy, cozy fantasy that gets a little weird at the end. And baking and food preparation is kind of a big part of it because that is my love language. So even though love languages are kind of like a nonsense, like Christian thing.
Yes, I discovered that and it's disappointing.
That made me very upset because I was like, aw, of course everything must be ruined, but
I still think like in isolation it's kind of a valuable tool. But I also think like there might be more that we haven't discovered yet.
Probably. I would agree with that. Oh, I meant to like close that blind before we started recording again. Cause just the like void of space and darkness. I'm waiting for a face to appear is what's happening. And I keep looking over there expecting to see something.
A haunting in Door County.
Indeed. Spooky. Oh my God. Weird shit in the woods, man.
Mm-mm. This is not the woods, though. I guess it's kind of the
woods. You're kind of the woods. Not like the woods. No. But I wrote it over the course of, was it 2022, 2023? I think is when I ended up, what's 2024 now? It got published in 2023. Self-published. I did the whole querying thing. I didn't get anything back. So I was like, fuck it. I'm going to do it myself. Which was fun, and yeah, I think maybe about 50 copies, mostly people I know, but it's out there. It was at the bookstore in Sturgeon Bay.
That's right,
which
and
is cool.
It's got 5 stars on Goodreads and on Amazon.
Yes, that's because of like people I know have given it 5 stars, but they don't have the same last name as me, so it's good. It's all good. But it was a very fun experience. It was a very cool to finish something, because as we all know, as fans of this show know, I don't finish things, or at least didn't, but
I was so proud of your discipline.
Oh,
that takes serious guts. Like, it takes guts to believe in yourself, and I think you and I have a pretty similar day-to-day, right? Like, we both have small children, we're both stay-at-home parents, and I just could not do what you did. I'm really proud of you. I'm really impressed with you.
So much of it was Izzy going to preschool and having those few hours a day to just be like I would literally go to either the library or the coffee shop. And it was like, this is what I'm doing for the 2 hours that I have. And yeah, so I think it ended up being a pretty decent story.
I think it's wonderful. I literally think you are living the dream.
The dream would be actually making enough money to like live off of it and never have to go work again. But
yeah, but if you do that, then you have to like manage your own socials on Twitter and like, I mean, that's a whole. We were going to talk a little bit about like the self-promotion aspect.
I am so bad at that shit because I'm just like, I don't want to seem like braggy isn't the right word. But
self-aggrandizing.
Yeah, like because I don't feel like a lot of people follow me. Like I'm not on Twitter anymore because why would you be? But I'm over on Blue Sky and I've been on Tumblr for a very, very long time at this point. And yeah, I don't want to be like, and I know you have to be because it's the whole like point, but I kind of hate that. So it's something I have to get better at.
You have to put aside your, I've been raised to not do this. Like mm-hmm. I'm also, I don't know if this is like culturally a thing for like Italian American. I know you're half Polish too, but I feel like you're culturally like more Italian American. I don't know if like that tall poppy thing is a thing in your family or like.
Say that again.
I forget. There's a culture that they call it tall poppy syndrome. And it's like if you think you're out there towering above everybody, they're going to cut you down.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's unseemly to be.
Right. You
like
shouldn't
that.
Be braggy and like yeah. that. Right. Like, you know, you're not good. You actually suck. Right.
No. Yeah. Like there's a whole Irish Twitter or Blue Sky now dedicated to like this one guy was like, I will never go out wearing overalls again because at every bar
I've seen that.
They call me Super Mario. Like Irish people do not be having that.
I kind of love that. Like, right.
You cannot take yourself that seriously. And I feel like to promote yourself, you have to take yourself quite seriously.
I don't know that I think you have to take yourself seriously. I think it's just a lot of like, look at the thing I did. 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 And I don't like doing that.
No, because I don't tend to like that quality in people.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you're an attention seeker.
Exactly. That's
the worst thing you can be.
I want to just be like, here's the thing. And like, I guess people will find it whatever.
Yes. And that's not in this. Things get so lost in the sea of everyone has a voice nowadays. That's, everyone can be a maker, which is great.
It is. It's awesome. But then, yeah, it's just kind of like. And the unfortunate thing about the publishing business now, and not that my book should have been, because I don't know, maybe it's dog shit.
I mean, but I've read some dog shit that's been published, so.
A lot of it is, it's such a needle in the haystack thing, but it's also like, oh, how many followers do you have on your social media?
It's like, so gross. Like, that's not the
are
metric.
Are you kind of, like, famous already, so we have people to, like, sell this to? Which I get if you're going to, like.
If it's about a profit motive.
Yeah, but that's annoying, and it shouldn't be that way.
No.
But that's why we have self-publishing.
Yes.
So that was pretty cool.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah. It's fun. You should read it.
You were I am always in the magic. Middle of it.
How far did you get? Like, do you remember where you're at?
I literally only read the first two chapters, I think.
Oh, okay. So you're not in the middle of it. You're at the beginning.
No. Well, I was giving myself a little grace. No, I'm not ashamed to tell our listeners that I had for a long time been afraid to read it, lest I didn't like it and was not able to hide that fact.
Because here's the thing. If you don't, it's not everybody's like thing. And again, maybe it's dog shit.
No,
like,
it's definitely not dog shit.
But it could be. You don't know.
It would have to take a real hard left turn, I would think. And I know you. I know how you write. I know how you speak. I know how you communicate. I know the things that occupy your brain space. Like, none of them are that whack. I mean, not the ones you put in the
book. I don't know about that. I got some pretty wack shit up here. Oh, my goodness. What do you think is the wack shit? Now I'm curious.
That's an interesting question. I don't know if that's something we should explore before our public.
Sheila's still very sore that I dragged her to the Transformers movie a million years ago.
I am sore about that. I'm sore about the Grinch. I'm a little sore about Spider-Man 2.
That one doesn't make any sense. And the Grinch wasn't like... That's like a popular movie now, which is weird to me.
Yes, it's weird
it's
to
like
me
a
too.
Thing. Like, it's like a cultural touchstone for
yes.
people now.
I just discovered that last week and it's weird.
I think that movie might be better than we remember, but it's still not good.
It's just kind of grotesque.
Because it's like we have the 30-minute perfect animated version.
Yes.
I don't need to know like the origins of the fucking Grinch. I'm good.
No, and I just like I can't with Jim Carrey. Like,
though the G train has left the station is objectively a funny line.
We sure did love that.
Yes,
and
we
I
did.
Still kind of do. Like I think about it a fair bit.
What was the other one where he's like the little girl is like, well, what is Christmas mean to you or something? He like comes through the Christmas tree and he's like, vengeance.
No, that is. That's legitimately good.
Objectively, like three funny moments in that movie. I would never sit down and watch it again.
I don't like Christmas themed media. I'm a Grinch, I guess. Because I don't know. Like, that's not a, it's not a plot. And it's just boring. I don't know. Christmas is a little saccharine sometimes.
Because it is. And I think the movies, what's annoying is it's like, and this is apropos because we're a couple weeks out from Christmas. It's so like, well, the true meaning is like being with your family and loving, but it's like, but consume everything. So it's very like, the messages don't align at all.
No. And it's also like, yes, we live in a capitalist hellscape and Christmas is but I also really like buying presents for my kid. Like,
sure.
I like being a little gross about
sure.
that at Christmas. And I like baking cookies and
the trappings can be fun. Like, there was, I'm going to sound bougie as fuck right now, but in Food and Wine, they had a template for, like, a very easy gingerbread, like, A-frame, like, ski chalet, they called it. But it's clearly just, like, the simplest gingerbread house you could make.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, well, that'll be fun. We'll do that this year. And I'll, like, bake it from scratch. And
oh, that will be
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, we'll have a good time with that. So I like the trappings of the holiday, but Christmas itself just kind of annoys me.
Yeah, me too. It's just, I think because it like takes over the cultural consciousness for like 2 months and it's
yeah.
like, okay, I'm over
like,
it. I'm
it.
Bored with it.
Yeah,
let's
exactly.
move on.
Or you're at Costco and you start fucking seeing decorations in like September and it's like, guys.
Yes.
Guys.
I feel like Halloween is becoming a little bit that way as well. It's getting to be a little bit of like a behemoth in a way
it's
that.
It's making like, what's annoying is, and I don't know if I can articulate this correctly, It's like the Disney adult of it all.
Precisely.
Where it's like, I have made thing, and I'm guilty of this, I have made thing my entire, maybe not my entire personality, but I don't know if you would agree with that, but I like, I contain multitudes. Like,
yes.
You know, it's not just one thing. And I get annoyed with Halloween, especially, and this is a, I'm going to offshoot here too, but because of the like, and Christmas a little bit in this vein too, because now everybody's like, the Nightmare Before Christmas of it all. When I was young, nobody fucking was into that movie. I wanted to talk about that movie to everybody and no one ever wanted to talk about it with me because I thought mm-hmm. the CG or the stop motion animation was gorgeous. It was like vaguely gothy in that way that I kind of wanted to be but never really got to.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was just kind of like, meh. And that annoyed me. And now suddenly, it's like everybody's topic. Favorite fucking movie. And yeah. I'm like, fuck all of you. That annoys me.
It also annoys me when things from our childhood persist into the now that are like not the good ones. Like, how come kids today don't know who Kurt Cobain is, but they know about A Nightmare Before Christmas? Like, come on. I will stand by that. Actually, I do see a lot of kids wearing Nirvana shirts.
My favorite is like one of a chef I follow. Her name is Sola El Whaley. She's delightful. She was at the Test Kitchen, Bon Appetit Test Kitchen, and she was kind of the one who kicked off the whole, like, when the editor of the magazine, that picture came out of him, she was like, no, you gotta quit. You gotta leave. You can't, like...
I thought that the issue was that they were treating their staff poorly.
Oh, that was also a big part of that, too. Oh, he had, like, a blackface picture.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
What are people thinking?
They don't. They're idiots.
No, they don't.
They're like the rich elite and think they can do whatever the fuck they want.
Oh, yeah. No, I told you that article about the guy that was like, but can't I give my waitstaff shock collars right. in the apocalypse?
Like, I'm sorry, what?
Holy fuck. Billionaire's scary.
Yeah. But she had a t-shirt that it was Hanson, but it said Nirvana.
Oh,
and
I love it
made me like the most happy in the universe. I love those. Where,
I kind of want that.
Or there's like a Hozier shirt. Is that how you say his name?
I think so.
I'm saying it wrong, I'm sure. But it was Matt Mercer because they kind of look alike. I love that. Like dumb nonsense like that makes me happy. But do people not know who Kurt Cobain is? Is that a thing?
I remember, and this was like in 2011, me and my work wife were doing Jeopardy for the kids. We had like what I thought was a slam dunk $200, you know, Jeopardy question about like this blonde haired guy.
How old are the kids, though?
I don't know, 13, 14.
Mm.
And sometimes you fall in the gap where it's like you didn't have older brothers listening to it, but it hasn't been like rediscovered yet.
No, and now it's on classic rock and you don't want to listen to that because that's lame and old.
Yeah,
I know, dude. You're on that classic rock station and like Foo Fighters comes out and it's like, I'm going to go sit down for a little while and stare at the wall. Thank you.
Like at this point, it's moved into like the 2000s. Like it's the Backstreet Boys. And I'm like,
bad, terrifying, mm-hmm. not good.
No, the march of time is relentless.
Time makes fools of us all. But no, what we're getting at is my taste is trash and I am 1000% willing to admit that.
You do love that Mariah Carey song that I fucking hate.
Which one?
The Christmas one.
Okay, that's not... I'm not weird for liking fucking All I Want for Christmas Is You. That's like, you are the outlier
no,
in that,
No, I do
friend.
Not think so.
Okay, like no one likes All I Want for Christmas Is You. Like, how about like you go fuck yourself?
Your special thing, like you're so defensive. You're like, no, this is my special one.
I will tell you, like, though, I haven't heard it at all. I've been kind of like weirdly anti-Christmas music this year.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, you hear it, it's just this relentless,
the jingling
constant
bells, like it's it really is. And like, there's only like 20 songs.
When we get to like the week before Christmas, I will be mm-hmm. like, okay. Or if we're doing something vaguely Christmas related, sure. It is an oversaturated song. I will give it to you. And yes, I did play it at my wedding because that was just like a weird
I wasn't gonna say it.
Like thing that I wanted to have done because I enjoy doing weird things. My mother did definitely come up to me and she was like, what was that? And I'm like, it's my wedding and I'll do whatever the fuck I want. How's that?
I don't like the sexification of Christmas.
That's also
Darcy.
Fair. Yeah.
It's like, it's just, and the Mommy Kissing Santa Claus song gives me the like serious willies. Gross. I know it's the dad. Like, I'm not dumb.
Yes, obviously.
I didn't know that as a child, however, and it made me uncomfortable.
Understandable.
Or that Santa Baby. Gross.
Oh, can we talk about the version that Michael Bublé did? And he was like trying to make it out to be like, oh, Santa's my friend. It's like, no, dude, if you're going to be a man singing that song, you got to make that shit hella gay. That is just the way it needs to be.
Yeah.
Nothing annoys me more. It's like, no, no, no. You're doing a cover of the song. Do the cover of the song.
Yeah.
You don't have to change it because you like, well, I can't even imply that maybe. And I don't know. I don't want to speak for Michael Bublé, but it's just like.
Never want to speak for Michael Bublé.
Never. But yeah, it's just like, then why are you covering the song, bro? Like, what's going on here? This is just weird.
I feel more like maybe he was embracing like the queer side of it all, and then
no,
his,
I'm pretty sure
his managers were
like saying Santa Buddy on there, man. Like,
oh no,
don't quote me because I have not heard the song in a very long time. But I feel like I have to look this up. Give me a moment. Hi, Asker. How you doing?
I'm trying to think about other. The problem with the Christmas songs is like they're all just by Bing Crosby. It's like a playlist of 40 songs.
I mean, and I don't hate some of the, like, my favorite is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And there's, like, it's either a Dean Martin or Frank Sinatra version that's just very, like, slow and kind of jazzy. And I just get a kick out of it. I also like What Are You Doing Christmas Eve by Ella Fitzgerald.
I don't think I've ever heard that one.
I love that song. What am I looking up?
Santa Michael Buddy. Santa Buddy. Ugh.
I feel like this is a thing. Like, give me a second.
I believe you. Like, there's no way you just made that up.
Yes, Santa. Wait, no, it is Santa Baby. No, he does say Santa Buddy in here. There we go. Santa Pally. Fuck off.
Pally is not a thing.
Santa Poppy. These are the lyrics.
Poppy?
Yeah, from 2011. God, that's old. Jesus.
Is Michael Bublé American?
I don't know.
Because that is so.
I'm right here. Give me a minute.
So strange that it's like, did you write this in translation? Like. You're killing me with the dead air, dude.
No, I'm sorry. I'm like Santa Boob or
Santa Bublé.
Excuse me. Michael Bublé's version of Santa Baby is offensive to Christmas and to me is one of his headlines. Sorry, that like caught my eye and I just started. I'm sorry for the dead air, guys. I am trying to look up if Michael Bublé is.
He may be Canadian, but I think that's as like far as it goes.
Sure, because I don't. British Columbia.
I don't follow Michael Bublé.
I don't give a fuck about Michael Bublé, personally. I think he's, like, vaguely attractive. Yeah, he's Canadian.
I don't even know what he looks like. Yeah. I feel like moms went crazy for him, and that's now my demographic, but I have a different, like...
Give me Joey Beatty or give me death. Thank
Michael
you
Bublé, ain't
very
it.
Much. Okay, why are we sending me, like... Oh, fuck off, Bob. He's sending me, like, American Tale somewhere out there, like... Don't send me that. That makes me cry.
Yeah, why are you trying to make me cry at 11 p.m. or whatever time it is?
I don't know. It's very weird. Oh, Bob.
Shall we get into it?
Yes, we probably should. Did we, like, close that narrative loop about my trash taste?
I mean, that can be an ongoing conversation.
So funny. Okay.
I like to think so. Okay, so this is going to take it real dark.
Okay, do we like go for, oh, because we just had a very happy, like, sunny moment.
Yeah, and you know now, we have to pay for those because I was raised Catholic.
It's funny because it's true.
It is. So a few things here. Some pages are missing.
Okay.
And I think.
Do you know where they're missing?
I don't know how many are missing. Like, I don't know if it was just the one scene or if it's a whole chunk. But it's clear what has just happened.
Okay, so wait. So as we're jumping in, something has happened.
Yes. So on the missing pages.
Oh, okay. Here we go. I thought there was like pages and then a missing chunk.
No. This.
But there's missing shit from like right after Darcy's.
After we closed the last
star
episode.
DJ turn.
Yes. Jeremy has accidentally run over and killed Mixie, the dog.
Oh, okay. That's not as bad. That's not great.
Okay.
That's not great. I was expecting like one of them to be dead. How did this occur? Did somebody leave the door open?
I don't know.
Okay.
Because I have none of that information.
But Mixie is dead.
Yes. And then further, I think Jeremy attempted suicide because he felt so guilty. And he is now in the hospital.
Okay.
So.
All right.
I know he's your, what is it? Wooby? Bublé? What is it?
Is my Bublé?
Blorbo?
I don't know if Jeremy's at Blorbo status.
Okay. Is Dakota at Blorbo status?
I don't know if either of them are
at
Blorbo
Dakota
status.
I think Dakota is the Wooby. I think a Wooby is like the one you want to like, protect. Like, I think like Frodo is a Wooby. I don't know.
I love the way you're saying this word.
Like, I may have just made this up.
I don't think you are. I know what you're, like, talking about. I just don't know if that's what... It's one of those things you, like, read and you never, like, hear it out loud.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, this is like a private.
Like, I'm never going to pronounce this, like, with somebody, so I don't have to worry about how it's pronounced.
Yes.
But yeah, I understand. No, I don't think they're blorbos, no.
Okay.
They're not.
Perhaps by the end of the story.
On my phone, like some people are.
If you could draw some fan art of them, I'd probably pay you.
I have such a complicated relationship with fan art because I'm like, if it's a character I enjoy, I want to do them justice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my skill level isn't there, so I'm not going to draw them.
Yeah, I see what you mean. That makes sense. Yeah. Totally.
Okay. Well, and what do they look like? Like, what your fan casting? Who's Jeremy?
So there's a physical description of all of them on the first page.
Oh, glorious.
That I found.
Okay, cool.
Do you want me to answer that question now before we get into it?
I
want to
know what the fan cast. Who's the fan cast for Jeremy?
Oh my God. Like some young, I don't know any of the young men.
Yeah, but I don't give a fuck about the young men. In your, if you had your druthers.
I'm bad with actors. Okay, so like smoldering, dark hair, rangy, like tall and skinny, moves with an animal fluidity.
Okay.
Anger coiled inside his breast.
Been thinking about this quite a lot, huh?
Yeah, well, let's just, yeah. I mean,
Dakota? What would fan cast for Dakota?
Dakota?
Or call sheet for Dakota. What does he look like?
And
you could also just get into this later when we do ultimately get to the beginning of the story.
Yeah, I need to sit down with that.
Just out of curiosity. I didn't know if you had somebody in mind.
No. I think Dakota would be probably like close to Elijah Wood, but not quite so.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
You know, blue-eyed and fragile. Like a little bit that way, but more alternative.
Intriguing.
Like an alternative Elijah Wood. But less obviously, like,
is Jeremy taller?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
These are vital, important
pieces
of information.
Yes, he's taller than Dakota, yes.
Height differences, Sheila.
Yeah, he could easily enfold Dakota in his surprisingly strong...
Glorious. I don't know if you folks will remember, if you have gone back and listened, there was fanfic written of, I think it was Dakota was in the hospital?
Yes.
Right? And then Jeremy went and, like, was feeling very guilty about what happened to him, if memory serves.
I believe so. Yeah. Even though I don't think it was his fault.
This is like, yeah, but he feels like there's a protectiveness there.
He takes a lot of... that's why he's, again, in the hospital for guilt reasons.
Guilt-based reasons.
Oh, Jeremy.
Okay. I gotta tell you, I didn't feel like a... I mean, it's a dog, so I'm always gonna feel a connection to a dog. There wasn't like a super connection to Mixie.
Okay.
Mixie? Not Moxie. Mixie. Okay.
Moxie would probably be a better name, though. Or Maxie. Yeah. Okay. So this just is randomly in the middle, and we have no context for this.
Okay, are we in the hospital, or...?
No, not yet.
Okay.
No, I returned savagely. Let me go. I won't. Do you want to bury her, Darcy? I was contriving to skewer Taylor's arm with my teeth. Are you trying to attack Jeremy? What's happening? I don't know. Yes, I do. Please let me go, I moaned.
Or she's trying to get to the body.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's trying to keep her away from, like, don't look.
Right.
I'm going to get a box and I'll see if I can find a shovel. You're coming with me. Tay tugged my arm wildly.
Like, how big is... What kind of a dog is
this? A black lab.
Got that big of a box just lying around? It's a big box.
Okay. this is a very cold logistical assessment.
I don't have a lot of large boxes. Like, I'm one of those people who is like, no, you bought the thing. Get rid of the fucking box.
Yeah, it would be... I mean, I don't think I have a black lab-sized box.
I'm just saying, a lab is a big dog. Yeah. So, I'm sorry.
No,
continue.
Okay. I don't think you're allowed to do that. I don't know. Don't do this to me. I'm going to start crying soon. Just let me take you next door, and then we can come back and bury her. I acquiesced by softening...
Does he live, like, right next door to them?
I believe so.
Okay.
Acquiesced by softening my anchor on Tay's arms and wobbling along the sidewalk with him. He procured a huge cardboard box from his back porch in an astonishingly short time. Darcy's with you on this one. Then stamped back, armed with a cumbersome shovel. Seeing him decked out in a gravedigger's accoutrement, incited a memory of a humorous production of Hamlet I'd seen.
Oh, gotta slip that in there.
Like, I know Hamlet.
I know Shakespeare.
I am so smart that I think Hamlet is funny and not serious and tragic.
I'm ignoring the tragedy of this moment by reminding myself that I know about Hamlet. Because I'm so smart and cute and pretty.
Alas, poor Mixie. I knew her well. I knew her, Horatio. Through a veil of tears, I proceeded to laugh uncontrollably. Darcy, Taylor said in distress, you're hysterical. Lie down. No, I'm fine.
Yeah,
I
lie
snapped.
Down on the lawn. You're good. Just lie down.
It's right next to the
yeah, you're
dead
fine.
Dog. All traces of gaiety annihilated. I'm coming with you. The pitiful funeral procession wended its way back to the house, where Taylor, somberly and with overwhelming dignity, arrayed the corpse in its contemptible box.
So is Mixie in Taylor's house or the other house?
The other. Oh, Taylor's house, because Dakota wouldn't let them have a dog.
Okay.
His one flaw. And shrouded it in a virginal white cloth. Inappropriate. He was striving to keep back the tears. He was gnawing furiously on his lip. In the backyard, I guess, Taylor sighed to himself. I'm not laughing at this part. I'm laughing at the next part. You ready?
Lay it on me.
Grievously, I nodded. It's a minute away. Mm-hmm. Outside, with the wan sunlight dripping its lament onto our backs, Tay Forrest.
So wait, did Jeremy like hidden? Jeremy.
You're making me cry.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Take your time.
Was this a hidden run type situation? Where is he? Did he like fucking bolt?
No, I told you. He attempted suicide.
Okay, so wait, he like immediately hit the dog and then like pulled out a switchblade and was like, we're going at this.
I don't know. But when you said that, it kind of triggered a memory. I think maybe he did stab himself.
Buddy.
I know. Now I'm crying. Oh.
Fucking A.
I think he did. Hit and run and stab. Tay forced his shovel.
Do we need a minute?
No, it's just that this is the most I've ever laughed about a dead dog in a suicide attempt.
This is where we're at in 2024. These dark days.
Remember that episode with the dead dog?
That they laughed at for 15 minutes.
This podcast is terrible. All they do is laugh and cry. They're so insensitive.
Sorry, because it was just like, where the fuck is, like, what?
Where did he go? I don't know.
Right, where did he just bolt? Like,
how did these, where did these pages go? I don't know.
Oh my God.
Tay forced his shovel into the unfeeling earth. In and out, in and out. The effect was dizzying. After about 15 minutes, the trench's big maw was ready and waiting. Is that how long it takes to dig a grave? I don't know.
I don't know. I've never dug a big hole before.
No, me neither. I don't dig holes. I'm going to put her in now, Darcy. Taylor's voice was that of a pubescent boy, a castrati. Sparing me further fruitless
what
words.
Was it like to talk to you as a 12-year-old?
I swear to God, I presented as normal. You met me when I was 14.
I mean, we were all weird fucking, like, we've all had weird fuck, like, moments as kids, right? But, like, yeah, let me throw this in my novel.
I didn't speak like this. You have to understand.
No, I know you didn't. I don't know that, like, yeah. No,
I mean,
you didn't talk like that.
You knew me in high school, and then you read that Beowulf paragraph that I read to
you. Yes.
My interior is, is really something.
Very purple. A lot of purple,
purple.
Pros going
purple.
On. Yeah.
Sparing me further fruitless words, he lowered Mixie's. I see you shaking with laughter.
Because I'm just thinking of the sequence of events. And losing my mind.
It's such a shame that page is missing.
Right? Oh, fucking A.
Like, right after the big Irish party. We could have, like, that should have been the page that got lost.
Absolutely. Oh, fuck.
He lowered Mixie's jerry-built casket reverently into her grave. Immediately, he spooned the heaping dirt back over her. An ogre spooning hot cocoa mix into a cup. What? Then he withered on top of the mound, drained. Tay, I croaked. What's wrong?
Oh, so he's, like, full, like, Irish widow keening on top of this. And Darcy's like, your dog just died. What's wrong?
It's not even his dog. I guess it is kind of his dog.
Well, whose dog would it have been?
Well, Jeremy? Who brought her? Oh, it was Tay that brought her home.
Sure.
You're right. Nothing that's never been wrong before. I'm afraid of death, Darcy. I mean, it's like a phobia or something.
Yes.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Yes.
Prudently, he spun around and vomited. I reeled back. We didn't puke on the casket, so, you know, that's good. I reeled back, brainwaves jumbled. When Taylor finished, he careened over to the other side of the yard and berthed himself securely on the fence. What?
Huh?
Why didn't you tell me? I reproached him. I could have done it. Don't worry about it. Just as long as you never leave me. Don't die on me or anything.
Here we go.
So I think we should have sex now. It doesn't
say
that.
Okay.
The look you gave me.
I was like,
no.
Wait a minute. Because I know he was waiting till marriage. Which is never going to happen because his ass is going to be dead in 15 pages.
I won't. I think we should go inside, I said, mustering all the common sense I had left.
So did everybody else take Jeremy to the hospital? Like what?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, probably.
Brian? So we're all just standing there. We just see him all off his
I know. I really wish that I could have found those pages.
Oh, fuck, man.
They're lost in the ether. Come on. My life had taken a drastic nosedive. It was spiraling rapidly towards Earth. That's what a nosedive is. Nothing could bolster my spirit at all. Nothing held any pleasure.
Except for sex.
Now, darling. Christian sex bot.
We are!
Christian sex bot! The caressing sensation of perfectly tepid bath water did nothing. That's what I look to when I'm low on joy.
Right. Let me take a sad bath.
Nor did Cleo's insensitive patter, nor the temerarious overtures
Cleo's, isn't that Saturn?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
She's pretty, like, I wouldn't want to listen to somebody like yak.
But why, you know, is she just there? Or is this where,
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I think it's like she's trying to cheer her up, but it's not working.
Okay. But are we like covering like weeks now? Or are we like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Nor the temerarious overtures of Mephistopheles and his cohorts.
There he is.
Hey, Mr. Mephistopheles is back. Callback humor. No earthly food stimulated my senses.
Earthly.
Mm-hmm. Only ambrosia.
Where's that angel food cake, baby?
Right? Even Taylor's romantic advances seemed somewhat mundane. Uh-oh, the bloom is off
the
rose.
It's happening, yep.
Had a scratchy doggy tongue.
I'm sad my dog died. Won't you fuck me?
Not
enough. He's like, there it is. There's the angle.
Maybe he arranged for the accident.
It was a hit.
Jeremy was like, I can't do this. I can't keep this to myself anymore.
Oh my God.
Had a scratchy doggy tongue meant that much to me? Jeremy was still residing stonily in the hospital. Oops. Ivan attended him when the time appealed. However,
that's
Jeremy.
A bitchy way of putting that.
I guess like when I feel like it.
My friend just tried to kill him. Like, my kind of maybe like I was into him. Like, eh. He's fine.
I got 15 minutes today.
I guess, you know. I can pop in. Whatever.
Yeah. He did kill our dog. However, Jeremy was crushed under the responsibility of Mixie's death and assumed everyone blamed him.
Did hit the dog, then yeah, it is your fault.
It's maybe he did just leave the door open or something.
Which does suck, but
I don't
you
think
did
he has a car.
Oh, okay. But doesn't he have a car?
I don't think so.
Why do I recall him in a car?
They ride around together.
Whose car is that, though?
Laughing and riding and cornholing. Taylor's or Ivan's, maybe?
Who the fuck is Ivan?
Oh my god. Seminal character, Ivan.
I vaguely recall an Ivan.
He's the other like adult in the group.
But he's not like living with them.
No, he's marrying Ursula. He's a little periph. He works with Taylor at the record store.
Of course they work at a record store.
They work at Reckless Records.
Of course they work at Reckless Records.
It doesn't say that.
But of course.
But
yeah.
I think we all know.
It's implied.
He assumed everyone blamed him. The fact was that, while we may have been unconsciously ejecting cartoon swords from our eyes, we all were visited with the occasional pinprick of clemency. So we, too, were burdened with guilt, a weight that was not lightened by the absence of a family member. The convoluted plans for Ursula and Ivan's impending wedding were still being drafted, but by much subdued celebrants. William was teeming with an apprehensive rapture at being designated to scatter flowers, but other than that, frittered away the hours pining. Well, that's not frittering.
Who's he pining after?
The Mixie.
Oh, okay.
Ursula or Darcy. Like, it's probably Darcy. Everybody loves her.
Everybody loves Darcy.
In a futile attempt to diffuse solace from her brimming atomizer, carted us all along on a dress and tux.
What?
Shrug.
Okay. Big shrug.
Big garlic shrug. On a dress and tux shopping expedition. Although the mission was successful in that its material goal was accomplished, it was dreadfully lacking in its spiritual undertones. The cast, so to speak, had finally been selected. William was flower boy. Dakota was slated to be the ring bearer. Connor would give Ursula away since her father was no longer available to do so. Taylor was the best man. Jeremy was a groomsman. I exulted in my position as the maid of honor. Doesn't this woman have any other friends?
I was just going to say, like, okay, the strange child who has just randomly started living with your weird collection of friends is going to be my maid of honor. What?
She's like a working nurse. Like, surely she has other friends.
Right. Or there's deeper issues here.
Yeah. Ursula herself was a proficient seamstress, so it was she, bearing a needle and teeth, who was drawing delicate nips and tucks and hems in the sheeny lavender material. It's kind of low-cut, I criticized. See, you have to remember, I'm only 16. It looks fine, she appraised, tossing her streaked blonde mane. Do you think I should trim my hair or leave it?
So wait, she's making all the fucking dresses?
I think she's,
Oh, just Darcy's.
No, I think she's, what do you call it? Like editing them. What do you call that?
Oh.
Tailoring them.
Yeah. Tailoring them. I'm clever.
No, that was good. I don't want anybody getting any ideas about me, I continued torridly.
I don't want them to think I'm a whore.
I don't want to look like a whore. Seriously, it looks fine. For God's sake, look at mine. She gestured towards her gauzy bodice, which barely concealed her considerable décolletage. I guess, I grumbled. Can we do something about my hair? You mean color it? Sure. What color would you like? Auburn, I surmised. You know, like reddish. I always wanted red hair. I'm so sick of
Right, stupid. You know what auburn means, right? Reddish.
I think everybody knows what... Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's pretty rough.
Yep, on brand.
I'm so sick of my cerulean head.
That's right, she does have blue hair. I forgot about that.
Yeah, she's one of those blue-haired... I don't even know what we're saying. I think it's cute, Ursula answered pertly. But yeah, the blue kind of clashes with the lavender. I can call up one of the bridesmaids and ask her to go out and pick up some color. Is that okay with you?
I just had a thought. Whoa. Is Wolf Halleck crashing this wedding?
I wish. Ugh. That would be so awesome.
Ugh.
Actually, I don't know if we got to the wedding. We'll see.
All right.
If we do, it's non-eventful. Yes, thank you, I said, elated. So I returned home transformed. Urs alleged that she would lose my dress if she kept it, so I ought to wear it home. You don't... No. My ramrod straight sapphire dresses had transmuted into elegantly curled strawberry blonde locks.
I will say, though, cerulean and sapphire.
That would kind of clash.
Very different colors, though.
Oh. Yeah.
Because do they is she describing her hair, or is the dress sapphire?
No, she's saying the hair.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's either cerulean or it's sapphire. Those are two different colors.
I don't think that they're wildly... Like, I agree that they're different, but it's not, like, sky blue and navy blue different.
Mm.
I think sapphire has some range. Because
sure.
A sapphire can even be like yellow. So I don't know how accurate of a descriptor it is. Like cerulean is like a fixed color.
I feel like we've been sticking with cerulean. Not that this matters in the grand scheme of anything. But anyway.
Good. Well, now she's redhead. Elegantly curled strawberry blonde locks. That's
also, okay. Is like her mom looking for her? Do we ever like establish that?
I think that does get addressed in the missing pieces here.
Okay. Just so, out of curiosity.
I think she's like... on the lam.
Because I'm sure we've like touched on that before. Like, there's no way we
yes.
haven't like mentioned it like at
no.
some point in whatever episodes we've done. But
no, like I think her mom sucked, but she wasn't like, I don't even think she was like abusive.
Okay.
So I'm sure they're looking for her.
Okay.
I hope. I mean, I don't know if Darcy is my kid. I'd probably be like, oh no, she's gone.
Oh, shucks.
Predictably, Connor Wolf whistled. Damn, you have a good figure, Taylor marveled when I'm cringing.
As you should be. She's 16 and he is 22 years old.
But also just the like, let's keep telling her she's super hot.
Well, yeah. Again, wish fulfillment.
Modest, but hot. Marveled when I waltzed through the door and strutted around the room. Dakota, in the act of crunching a savory potato chip, chomped his finger instead and bellowed in pain. Oh, I hate that. Only William was impervious to my wiles. Good on you, Will.
You're right. That's why she hates him.
Exactly. The wedding demanded more and more of our attention and burgeoned into an all-consuming event. We trudged through innumerable fatuous rehearsals. It's an honor to be the maid of honor, Darcy.
It's standard after weddings kind of sucks, though.
I wouldn't call someone's rehearsal. Actually, I guess, like, sometimes the rehearsal is dumb because the coordinator is weird.
But it's also like you're doing a rehearsal.
Yeah.
There's no multiple rehearsals. No. We're doing it the night before, and then we're going and getting dinner.
I think that I was once in a wedding where they had like a bunch of rehearsals.
Yeah, if that shit.
It was like one of those. My cousin's wife was like Opus Dei Catholic.
Ugh.
Yeah. It was weird.
It'd be a whole thing.
It was rough.
Opus Dei. Wasn't that in like fucking the Da Vinci Code?
It may have been.
Which I read a thousand years ago.
It's like the kind of Catholic that Mel Gibson is.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no.
It's like extremist Catholic.
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, no.
I'll stay lapsed, thanks.
They're divorced now, thankfully.
Weird.
However, with every miniature milestone we surmounted, May 16th sneaked closer and closer until finally it was not the
16th.
The
16th is like, that's like an important date. That's always the 16th, I feel like.
Well, my birthday is the 16th.
I know, yeah.
But a present reality. Ursula and I, along with her four bridesmaids, were banded furtively in the bride's room. There was a palpable camaraderie brought on by the fixing of hair bows askew, lipstick smudged, nylon skinned, flowers trampled. What happened
here? How pissed off are these other women?
Right?
Like, they're like, these are grown-ass women and there is a child here.
She probably was like, this is my cousin or something. But I just don't think you make a 15-year-old the maid of honor.
No, absolutely.
No, it's like, I've never heard of an underage maid of honor.
Yeah, no.
I had bonded agreeably with Ursa's suave friends. It seemed they were quite desperate for a younger soul to minister to. Well, there you are. An intense rapping at the door.
It's all coming up, Darcy.
Signified that it was time. It's in bold. I alone caught the dewdrop decorating Ursula's cheek before she whipped it aside. Brazenly, she marched out to the aisle. Everyone flowed toward the altar with a dexterous grace. The ceremony was prodigal. That's not what that means. Expenses supplied by Ursula's illustrious but absent relatives. Why would you pay for a wedding that you weren't going to be at? That makes no sense.
Because they would be harsh in the vibe. And this is about Darcy.
And her sexy harem of men.
Exactly.
There was not a hitch in the mass, although Jeremy, recently ejected from the hospital, did they kick him out, was relatively frail. He staggered as if he was a pliant Ken doll. I feel like he would hate to be described that way.
Yes, I feel like he would, that visceral hatred of that. Yes.
It's like a personal affront. The reception was even more glorious. There was a rejuvenated glimmer in Ivan's chocolate eyes. Ursula was beaming enough to light the whole banquet hall with her maidenly blush. I was graciously requested, as was Taylor, to accompany the bride to her table, which was ornamented with all sorts of repasts previously unimagined by man.
You know what's great? I'm like sitting here imagining this as like her diary that they all eventually like find and read and are like, what the fuck?
That's kind of my vision for the update, that like she's like borderline psychotic.
Yeah,
this like happened this way,
right? But like, or she's being like, oh, let me help you over to your table, and making the wedding like all about her, and everyone's like, what the fuck is going on? You're a baby, why are you here?
Who are you?
Yeah.
Naturally, Connor's antics awarded him with several willing lovelies who flocked constantly around him begging for dances. Connor stole the show when he scrambled onto the dance floor alone and proceeded to perform a completely original a cappella version of a Pearl Jam song.
Can I just say, it's not going to come across, I'm just going to say it. Chef kiss. Beautiful.
Who is like any DJ worth their salt?
They would
like,
just be like, what is going on? Like, did the bride approve this? What are you doing?
Like, what Pearl Jam song did he sing?
That's odd that you weren't specific about it.
I know.
Like,
I also think it's even flow, like 100%. Oh, screaming. Never seen little matter of fire.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Okay.
I know we're being loud, but I don't care. These assholes have been loud all fucking day, so I'm going to be loud now.
I just, like, I can't get a hold of myself.
Right.
Incorporating an air guitar and Eddie Vedder intonation.
There,
well, yeah.
Is. I mean, you'd have to.
You can't not.
No.
Dakota had been hibernating in a corner, wallowing in envy. I wish I could sing even when Connor apprehended him and dumped him on the dance floor as well. Inspired, Dakota
executed. I'm looking at it. We don't seem like we have many pages left here.
No. It's not that many.
Okay.
I mean, is this moving along at a brisk clip?
No, no, no. We're doing good. We're doing good. I was just kind of looking and I'm like, oh, we're getting close.
I think it's still like 10 or more.
Okay.
Okay. He executed a Spice Girls duet with Connor, ostentatiously accompanied by much gyrating and dancing.
Had you been to a wedding?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You knew how they go.
No, I have been to a wedding where we danced to the Spice. I've been to multiple weddings where they had
but
the Spice Girls.
But we're not like doing performances of the Spice Girls.
No, you cannot.
Which this seems like what's happening.
No, that's wildly inappropriate. Yes. Especially like they're not even her friends. They're his friends.
Right.
William, meanwhile, was blissfully strewing flowers, as lunatic as Ophelia ever was. The hired DJ.
I've seen Hamlet. Did you know that? Have I mentioned I've seen Hamlet?
It was a very humorous production. I don't know if you knew that Hamlet was actually funny. The hired DJ was howling a repeated command to dance. It's in all caps. A petite little girl wandered up to me, dwarfed among the towering swarm. Hi, she articulated warmly and thrust herself into my arms. The urchin sought a surrogate mother. Another thing Darcy is wonderful at. Can you ask that man to play a song for me? I'm scared of him. Sure. What would you like to hear? Mbop, she informed me sagaciously.
There it is.
Bemused, I agreed. There was nothing like the rollicking spirit of the Hanson brothers to start a frolic on the dance floor. Said no one ever.
Nope. Can I tell you? I don't know that I've ever listened to that song all the way through. Like, I got it. And it's just...
there was a time when I would have pushed back on this, but I think that ship has sailed. I like Zach, she confessed in a whisper, then tittered nervously. Yeah, me too. Eyes. She was enthralled by this and clung vice-like to my arm, under the impression that I was her soulmate. However, as I was leaning in for an intent conversation with the amiable DJ, the
Wolf
light...
Wolf Halleck appeared.
This is exactly when... I think it's like a Wolf Halleck fake-out, actually.
Oh.
With the amiable DJ, the light flickered ominously, then sputtered out, plunging the company into an inkwell. My fubsy companion estranged herself from me and
what
trotted out.
Fubsy mean? Wigged situation.
And trotted. No, it's a word. It's just an obscure word. Mm. Trotted out somewhere. I groped in vain but could not locate her. Hey, everybody, pair up, hooted the DJ. Things that would never happen at a wedding.
Yeah, no. Like, it's
7
like,
minutes in heaven?
Yeah, like, the lights have, like, scary movie gone off. Oh, yeah, no, it's, like, time for romantic. It's, like, dance. So pair off, everybody. Like,
what the fuck? An alien pair of arms crept around my satiny waist. Is it Wolf Halleck? It's not. I shuddered, not
I'm
one for disport with strangers.
Not.
I know. This would be so much better if it was Wolfgang busting it.
1,000%.
To play his wolf games. I'd never find Taylor in this horde. I extricated myself from the invisible clutch and ambled away cautiously. Helplessly, my foot contacted another and I sprawled clumsily to the floor. Expecting unwelcome tile, I involuntarily exclaimed when I was met with flesh dark. Darcy? The prone figure inquired. Taylor? Hey, it's you! My voice was somewhat sickeningly saccharine because of our surprise confrontation. Yeah, he affirmed, and somehow his lips connected briefly with mine.
Somehow.
In that self same second, the offending lights bathed the hall once again with their irradiation. Aggrieved at the assumption of the surrounding people whose smirking countenances betrayed their thoughts, we both lumbered to our feet. Connor, Dakota, and William dutifully echoed the sentiments of the people around us for the rest of the night.
Okay.
What? What a dumb scene.
We're hanging out at the wedding a lot more than I thought we would be.
Well, that's the end of that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Scene change. June, I love you. I trilled into the mirror as it dazzled my eyes with sun glare. Time skip.
Mm-hmm.
Light streamed in, sending my spirits soaring. Who's June? Anyone I know? Dakota inquired as he nimbly dodged the toothbrush I hurled at him. Dakota, I warned him. Sorry, he chirped. Hurry up. If you could kindly hand me my toothbrush, I would, I replied loftily. Geez, I wonder what it is Connor is so excited about. Dunno, Dakota returned dully. I can't believe it's summer. I mean, it seems like a week ago I was wearing winter coats and boots. It's a little Chicago talk for you.
Yeah, there you go.
Remember when I dressed you up as a girl? It was my mirthful reminiscence. And then Wolf kidnapped you? I'm sure he remembers.
Yeah, he probably does. It's like the worst night of his life. Yeah.
Haven't heard from Wolf in a long time.
He Ooh.
I guess that's good.
I like we're like we got the wrap up with the wedding and now we've got to be like, oh hey, everything's great and we're all doing good. And remember all those fun times?
We had some times,
didn't
we? And
now death.
I guess that's good. Maybe he got arrested. Probably. Go get William and Jeremy and Taylor, huh? Obediently, I summoned the above-mentioned parties. They were huddled around Mixie's grave in the backyard, erecting a monument of stones. It was already badged with a makeshift cross. However, William had been desirous of a more worthy memorial. Aw, William. So the boys were battling over the placement of stones. I terminated their violent discourse. Come on, guys, we're ready to go. All righty, William agreed genially. Yo, let's go. That's the end of that scene. The party tramped savagely into the radio station, tracking all sorts of uprooted grass and mud. William and Jeremy were actually caked and smeared with mud. A quarrel on the way had resulted in a gregarious skirmish with dirt as the chief weapon.
So now we've, like, she's all in on Tyler. Taylor.
Yes.
I will get that right at some point. And she just completely, like, we don't give a fuck about Jeremy anymore.
I mean, he's still part of the family.
Yes, but he's very sidelined, it seems.
It does seem that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think once Taylor confessed his love to her, like, they became a couple.
Okay, I don't recall that happening, but...
It happened at Devil Man.
Was that early?
Yes, it happened during Devil Man. Like, remember, we were like, these two need to shut up during the movie.
I gotta go back and listen to those episodes.
That's probably,
I remember,
like,
losing
my
shit during Devil Man. Yeah.
Devil Man.
Devil Man.
He's the man, but he's also a devil. Hey, William bawled across the radio station, then paused to hail Finney Tyler, who had poked his effulgent head into the room.
Effulgent?
It's like shiny, like emitting light.
Is he bald?
He has very shiny brown hair.
Okay.
Like, I'm sorry that you're not aware of that.
Pardon me.
A look at you, Finney mourned when we all shambled in. You're getting mud all over the beautiful studio. This was a sincere outburst on his part. Yeah, of course. Now get those shoes off and follow me. He seemed to be
take
harnessing.
Take your shoes off in the okay, bud.
Well, because they're tracking mud all over.
Okay, yeah, yeah, okay.
It's his workplace.
Mm.
Like, yes, shirt, no shoes, no service. Look at. I already read that. Now get. Okay. He seemed to be harnessing some inner electricity that was frantically trying to ooze out. He practically had a barrage of sparks shooting from his dancing eyes. Okay. Finney led the troop down the threadbare carpeted stairs to the basement. I envisioned a mad scientist, lab coat billowing, bearing a guttering torch and guiding unsuspecting prisoners to the lab where he formulated his demented potions. Congregated behind their instruments were Connor and two other boys I assumed to be Tristan and Harvey. Upon our entrance, Connor leapt from the confines of his drum set and yanked Tristan over to visit us. Trist, say hi. Hi, muttered the slightly sullen Tristan. His calculating eyes flitted from Taylor to Jeremy to William to Dakota to me. He ruthlessly shoved a lock of glossy brown hair behind his ear, wriggled his salient nose, and stalked back to his keyboard. Hey, everybody. Harvey saluted us affably. He was infinitely more likable. His broad grin, surrounded by cherry red lips, revealed his sociable disposition. Okay, guys, Connor pronounced solemnly. Should we tell him?
Have we been signed?
Yes, Harvey ejaculated. That's never not funny.
No, that's always going to be funny.
And strummed his guitar discordantly for emphasis. Darcy, Dakota, everybody, gather round. Now looky here. Connor had slipped hundreds of feet into a Texan accent. I kind of like that. Like, he slipped hundreds of feet into an accent.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
We got ourselves a record contract. I shrieked and hurtled into Connor's arms. I'm so happy for you. Oh, Connor, you're going to have a CD. I'm so proud of you. Impulsively, I launched myself at Tristan, too. Congratulations, I howled at him. His apathetic visage shattered into a grin. Is it visage or visage?
I feel like I've always pronounced it visage.
Me too. Okay.
Visage.
As I had coaxed Tristan from his shell. And you too, Harvey.
Just that good.
Right? Like, this is about you, Darcy. I nabbed him too, then Finney as well, despite Taylor's pouting glower.
Ugh. The worst.
Finney whooped. The worst.
The worst.
Like,
yes. objectively the worst.
My God, grow up. Oh yeah, we're awesome, you guys. I asked tentatively, so exactly what are the terms of the contract? We have to produce four albums.
Because I know. I'm well-versed in lawyering.
Let's talk record logistics. We have to produce four albums within 2 years. Well, three, really, because we've got the first one all written. It just needs to be recorded and mixed. We've got to go on tour soon, like in October. I don't think that's how that works. That's about it, I guess.
Four albums in 2 years?
That's nuts, right?
Insane?
Yeah. I mean, that's a bad contract, I guess.
Yes.
It's a predatory contract.
Yes. Darcy's like, it sounds amazing.
Can I come with you guys? Connor was soaring. What are you going to call your first CD? I don't know. Something cool. Trist wanted to call it Folly, but I didn't know what it meant, and he didn't either. Connor informed me sage.
Yes. Sagely.
It means foolishness, was my complacent instruction.
Thank you, Darcy, for flying in there.
That sounds pretty cool, I think. Why don't you use that? Okay. He propounded the suggestion to the remaining band members, and in a quick convention, the vote was unanimous. Folly it is, then. A smattering of glass sprinkled our feet that second. What the hell? Taylor yelped, then gritted his teeth. Connor had ecstatically smashed a bottle of champagne.
There's a lot of Wolf Halleck fake-outs going here.
I know. It's like, what's going on?
Like, I'm very eager to, like, ooh, does Taylor get defenestrated or whatever? Is that the way you pronounce that word?
Yes. Amazing. The defenestration of Taylor.
Does he get tossed out a window?
You don't want me to tell you.
I don't, but...
You'll see. Anybody want some champagne? He offered.
Champagne?
that's the kind of thing that I feel like I might say. No thanks, Taylor declined warily. We frittered away
I'm
the
waiting
rest-
till marriage.
I don't do champagne before marriage. We frittered away the rest of the afternoon with Tristan enthusiastically edifying me in the art of keyboard playing. Needless to note, I was not the most apt pupil in the world. Darcy's bad at something?
Holy shit.
June 23rd was the most breathtaking evening of my life. Scene change.
Oh, okay.
Let me state it that way. It was Midsummer's Night, as I apprised Taylor. If you wash your face in the dew tomorrow, your beauty will increase. And you're supposed to be able to work a bunch of magic tonight.
Also, can we fuck?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Darcy, you could never be more beautiful
Darcy,
than you are now.
You could never be more beautiful than you are now.
Darcy. I can't
Darcy.
Even.
Darcy.
You could never be more beautiful than you are now. I can't really do.
Darcy,
you don't need fairy magic.
You're already the most beautiful woman, girl, child in the whole world.
Darcy, you hot young thing. Gross. He said tenderly.
Gross, he said tenderly.
And I'm more interested in something else tonight. Want to go out with me tonight? Just, I don't know, go stargazing or something? We can drive downtown and go up to the roof of some building or something. We can bring candles and eat dinner and all. You want to? He babbled. Of course. Can I help you make the food?
Gotta go up a building, huh?
Maybe. Listen, there are some surprises left.
What's great is there's like a timer above his head. Which it's one of my favorite things in like fiction. Like I was watching Arcane, right? And they introduce a character... is the second part of season two. And the second this person steps on screen, you're like, oh, you will exist to die.
Oh.
You've got the timer above your head and we're just waiting for it.
But don't you think that's bad storytelling?
Sometimes, but I think sometimes it is just like, part of it I think is I've watched entirely, like, I don't mean like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's tropes are tropes for a reason.
Yeah.
They work, you know?
It's true.
Yeah.
All right, let's trope it up here. Can I help you make the food? Yeah. Know what? Let's just bake a bunch of cookies and cakes and stuff. I don't want any real food tonight, he said wickedly. Okay. Taylor was a veritable fountain of romance.
I don't want to have anything heavy because there's going to be some pegging involved later. So get ready for that, 16-year-old girl. Terrible. Terrible. Sorry. Oh,
no. I have everything at home, so we can just bake it all there. Why is there so much fucking baking?
You were really into baking.
Makeover, makeover. That afternoon was jammed with the mingled scents of jelly and cinnamon and spice. Despite a select few eggs, which... Sorry, I was just thinking about the Pearl Jam again. Holy shit. Which found their way to a smashing destiny on the floor. We possessed more than enough wealth to provide an abundance of junk food. Cakes, cookies, and tarts were shoveled from the oven continuously. Taylor lovingly couched his creations in a huge wicker basket. He enrobed them in a tablecloth. I'm going to take these out to the car. I'll be right back.
Get
I'll go with
shot
you.
On the way out there.
What?
No, sorry. I'm just
if you wish. I decided.
I'm just waiting for, like, Wolf Halleck is what I'm come, waiting for.
Come rushing in.
Right.
No.
Tell Leroy Jenkins about it. Just
Wolf Halleck! insulted by his acerbic... he snapped. He said, no, you can't come with me. Insulted by his acerbic retort, I retorted just as bitterly. Fine then, I won't go with you tonight. No, 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 no. His machine gun negations all lodged themselves in my spine.
The sex.
Rapid as they had been. Well, what's wrong with you? I demanded huffily. You don't understand. You'll see when we get there, was Taylor's gruff rationale for his socially unacceptable behavior.
Yeah, we kind of like... turned on a dime there, baby. What's
sketchy
up his butt?
Sketchy business. Mm. Just let me go the car, then I'll come back and we'll go. I communicated a transient glance that read, "You're crazy, but I'll listen to you," and then tended to the cakes while he ran his clandestine errand. Snuggling the food down inside the fabric, I awaited his return. Taylor bounded back and scooped me into his arms. "Okay, let's go." I giggled at my mode of transportation to the car. "I love you," I reminded him serenely. "I love you too, even when you get mad at me," he laughed.
So what was he doing with the fucking car? Oh, okay.
It will all become clear. Go ahead. It's not a throwaway.
Okay.
He settled.
Right,
me.
not a keystroke wasted. Yes.
That's right. The economy of storytelling here is insane.
Choice.
Settled me gingerly into the passenger seat. Taylor was intrinsically occupied. He was generally a cautious driver, but his erratic swerves were causing me no end of consternation. "What are you worried about?" I inquired, trying to delve deep into his subconscious mind, playing the psychiatrist once again. "Nothing," he said abstractly, and received yet another middle finger to add to his trophy case. Oops. "Come on, there's something, and we both know it," I pressed anxiously. "No, no, 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 no," he echoed himself, which pitched me into convulsive laughter. Then, as we nearly sideswiped a huge truck, Jesus, I took it upon myself to correct him. "Do you want me to drive?" was my sardonic scolding.
I'm good at that, too.
I'm only 15, right. But I can drive.
No, well, she's 16 now.
Oh, that's right. "No, thank you kindly. And how is your health?" he asked, a voice ringing with a genteel tone. This was his dismissive line to deflect the conversation from him and force the limelight on me. "Just fine, thank you," I answered respectfully, playing along. "But I'm afraid it will take quite a downturn if you keep doing that." Taylor had nearly crossed over into the wrong lane. What if that was how he
that was it? Just this freak car accident? That'd be amazing. I'm like, well, okay.
And Mixie was just foreshadowing.
Story over.
And then they had to find another big boss.
Well, Alex, like, waiting at the scene of, like, the final fight, and he's just like, what the fuck happened, man? I guess I'll just go home then. Fine.
I do have a big box, so I bought a whole case of wine at Target. When my nerves were thoroughly jangled, the ride ended, merciful God. I hopped blithely out of the vehicle, which had almost caused my destruction. "Which building are we going to?" I asked briskly as I inhaled the ambrosic summer air.
Now, where do you picture this happening? Is this downtown?
Yes, you actually get the cross streets later.
Oh, okay, glorious.
It says State and Madison. I don't think there's like a straight up skyscraper there. I think it's like probably like a 5-story building at most. It's the Marshall Fields, isn't it?
On State? I think you're right.
Yeah. All right. "Anyone you want. That one right there okay with you?" Taylor asked, indicating the nearest one. Its glassy complexion reflected the burning streams of headlights into the Chicago night. It was somewhat imposing, housing 10 or 15 stories worth of structure, but it was the shortest one around. Well, there you go. "Sure, let's go. Hey," I sparkled. "Race ya." "Ha," Taylor spat mockingly and dashed off deliriously to receive all the laurel.
I was on his heels, pacing him all the way, but he lunged forward and tagged the building victoriously.
I am going to say, because we are over an hour now, is this its own scene, or did this bleed into other stuff?
No, this is like,
Is this kind of where we're getting there?
It's not the last scene, but it's like...
So do we want to get them maybe to the, like, finish up that paragraph on that page? And then we'll cut to part two in our next episode?
Yes, because this is like saving before the boss fight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's, I was getting that feeling, so...
Yeah, so let me finish this paragraph.
Okay.
I was on his heels, pacing him all the way, but he lunged forward and tagged the building victoriously. I win, he panted, exhilarated. We'll leave it there.
Okay.
So we're doing another one tonight, right?
Yes. It is getting late and we are being very loud, but I don't fucking care. So, we're getting there. We gotta get there. So, yes, thank you folks for listening. We are going to launch immediately into the recording of part two of that scintillating scene there. Thank you as always for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye.